This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's your weekly fix of international news and current affairs for the LGBTI community. It's Worldwide Wave time, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and Richard for the latest in news and extended weather. On the Worldwide Wave, big panel here tonight. Hello, Alex.
Hello, hello.
Paul's here.
Hello.
And myself, Matt, and we welcome for the first time Ian. Hello, Ian.
Nice to be back.
Excellent. It's quite rare that we are able to bring you good news stories about LGBT rights from Africa. But tonight is one of those nights. In the west of Central Africa is a country, after centuries of Portuguese colonisation, has set about not just removing colonial sodomy laws, but bringing new laws in to protect the LGBTI community. Tonight, we are off to Angola.
What was the surprise addition to the law that decriminalised homosexuality in Angola?
How is international influence helping to drive these changes?
What does it take to be an out and proud activist speaking up for the LGBTI community in Africa? For our first time visiting this country, giving us an insight into LGBT life in Angola, tonight we're joined by Imani da Silva, a trans activist in Angola.
Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Florin from the Romanian LGBT rights organization, Accept, speaking from Bucharest on the World Wide Web.
You and I were the first to decide. Now it's gone and it's over, it's done. Break the walls, put the spade in the ground, 'cause the new and a world has begun.
Light it up.
You and I on the border line. Carry on, we are strong, we are one.
Now it's over us. Light it up.
planet, light it up.
And that was Sarah Alto with Queens. Now,
like that one.
The reason for they're fairly Queen. All the songs are about kings or queens.
Because there's queens in Angola?
Well, there's one particular one in that our interviewee was the Angola representative in the Miss International Queen competition.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
The International Queen competition is the world's largest beauty pageant for transgender women.
We get all the top line people here. Messages in on Facebook, this one. It actually responds to that story we had from the UK about the first transgender prison wing. Richard says, I know the intention is to protect cis women, but I suspect, with the exception of the woman who committed the attack, it's more likely the trans women who will need the greater protection. Mm. Yeah, we picked up on the same thing, Richard. Thanks for that message. You can message us on Facebook. That's W3Joy. 0427Joy949 is the SMS, and on air at joy.org.au.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
So, we're in Angola, which is located in southwest Africa and has been independent since 1975 after a whopping 400 years of Portuguese rule.
That's quite a long time, actually.
It is.
I didn't realise it was
And it
so
was
long.
Exactly 400 years, so 1575, and the Portuguese departed on 1975, which I'm sure is no coincidence.
There was quite a campaign to try and get them through out of colonisation.
And 75 was around the year the Portuguese were losing much of their last remnants, sort of. Because that's also around the same time as Timor-Leste became independent, I think, and various other, Mozambique around that time. The capital is Luanda, and the population is around 26 million, and in a country about the size, a little bit smaller than Queensland.
So similar population to us, but in a much smaller space.
Yes, although for Africa, still pretty moderate size. It's a pretty small population, really.
It's got vast mineral and petroleum reserves, as various parts of Africa do, and one of the fastest growing economies in the world. But it's a bit of a case of the haves and have-nots, with a highly concentrated rich segment, and one of the highest infant mortality rates and lowest life expectancies in the world, sadly.
Now, in pre-colonial times, same-sex practices were commonplace amongst various tribal groups and among the Ovimbundu people, who behaved and dressed like women and were called chabadi, and they would marry other men.
As we see in many of these pre-colonisation cultures, there's same-sex attraction was just completely accepted, and then the colonies came in.
And again debunks that common myth that's propagated by homophobes in Africa, that homosexuality is a Western import.
Yes, but wait for it. It wasn't the British that
actually. It wasn't the British this time.
It was the Portuguese.
You couldn't wait to say
to get them there. I don't have to apologise. So they brought in a colonial law that made homosexual acts were criminalised as acts against nature in 1886. So actually not after they took a while to do it after they colonised.
Well, actually, there's a bit of history there. It was decriminalised and then criminalised again in 1886. So yes, I'm not sure that the history may be longer there. But it's been rarely enforced, which is quite typical of some Catholic colonial societies.
Of course, there's no recognition of same-sex relations as yet, and generally there is a lot of social pressure for people to marry a partner of the opposite sex. Mm. That said, it is one of the least homophobic societies in Africa, and it has one of a very popular rap techno artist who is a transgender woman, Tinica.
We should mention that there was a new penal code introduced in 2017 that doesn't criminalise same-sex relations. So that is the big development.
Yeah. And we are tonight in Angola.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Yes, the big news from Angola is the recent announcement that not only has homosexuality been decriminalised, but the government has also enshrined in law protections for LGBTI people against discrimination. Amani Da Silva is an independent trans activist from Angola. We asked Amani how this came about and how long they have been fighting for this change.
The good thing is that actually there was a bit of a misunderstanding in terms of the news, because what happened is Angola post-independence has never criminalized homosexuality. What the government has done recently is just to banish from the legislation, sorry for my English, it was just an old law. It was pre-independence. It was from the colonial times. But in fact, the government has never judged anyone for same-sex relationship. And the bonus for us is that the government now, it's they are working towards criminalizing any sort of act that, you know, LGBT phobia, if I can put it this way. So anything that violates the rights of LGBT people, then it will be considered a crime, which is even a better thing for us, because now we feel that the government is really focusing on the violence and recognizing that there is a lot of discrimination and violence that goes on within the LGBT community.
So having that that criminal offence for discrimination based on sexual orientation, did you know that was coming, or was that a surprise to you?
It was a surprise in a way of being so soon, because we kind of, you know, as an activist, I've had the opportunity to sit down with the Ministry of Justice and other people from the government, and you kind of feel that they are ready to listen. They've always been ready to listen to the issues, to the problems. Obviously, until we presented them the issues, they were not quite aware of what was going on. And it's something that, you know, there is so much more to be done and so much more to come. I'm very positive and I'm 100% sure that it will happen. But obviously, we just need to keep on working for that to happen, hopefully quite soon.
That was Imani Da Silva, local activist in Angola. Coming up, Imani gives us a personal insight of what life is like for LGBT people in Angola. This is Worldwide Wave.
I'm perfectly fine. I live on my own. I made up my mind. I'm better off being alone. We met a few weeks ago. Now you try on calling me, baby, like trying on clothes. You move to me, I'm your American queen, and you move to me like I'm a Motown bee, and we rule the kingdom inside my room. It's all the boys and their expensive cars, the Range Rovers and the Jaguars. Never took me quite where you do. And all I want's you, I'm the one I've been waiting for. King of my heart, body and soul. You go, king of my heart, body and soul. And all I want, I've been waiting, waiting. Luxury. You move to me, I'm your American queen, and you move to me like I'm a Motown bee, and we rule the kingdom inside my room. Oh. It's all the boys and their expensive cars, the Range Rovers and the Jaguars. Never took me quite where you do, where you do. And all I want, you are the one I've been waiting for, king of my heart, body and soul. Ooh, oh. And all I want, you are the one I'll never let you go, king of my heart.
That was Taylor Swift with King of My Heart.
Because our guest is royalty.
Royalty.
Actually, I think our guest tonight is from Angola, and a trans person, openly trans person, and an activist in Angola. I think that's royalty. You've got to have, you know, got to have some. You've got to be brave and stand up and.
Well, I think we can have. Anyone can be a king or a queen in their own.
It is in their own realm.
Yeah, it is a fabulous positive story, isn't it? And Africa's really not known. We were talking about this over the music for positive news stories of LGBTI rights. So the law changes that have taken place in Angola to decriminalise homosexuality and increase LGBTI rights have made worldwide news. We asked local activist Imani De Silva if the good news had made headlines locally.
That international media has been more participative than the national media. I think that it's something that people are, you know, obviously, you know, every single newspaper and on TV, they have mentioned it. But even though there is no such a big thing about it through the media, even though we have for the past few years, I myself, we have been just having this exchange of ideas with the media, they've always been extremely interested in what it's all about to be an LGBT in the country. And we've been informing and sharing our own experiences. I think that the media is just waiting for what's coming next.
And this change to the law, how do you think it might affect the daily lives of LGBT people in Angola?
Oh, it will change things immensely. Why? Because now, one thing that we believe that is extremely important is to address homophobia, because it's something that, you know, even in the past, people who were victims of homophobia, that word was never mentioned as the reason why that person was attacked or that person was killed. Even though there is no record of how many crimes related to homophobia, but obviously there is crimes that happen daily. The LGBT community faces discrimination, even inside their homes, which is even more scary. And it's something that we have to address as well. But the fact that the government is recognizing that there is crimes against LGBT community, it's a great deal for us. And we know that in the near future, when we know that we are victims and we can prove that we are victims, we can actually present that to a lawyer. We can go to court. In fact, actually, they've just mentioned that if a person denies job to a person to another person because of their sexual orientation, they can be jailed for up to 2 years. So we are seeing the change, and because it's so recent, we believe that within 1 year there is so much more that the government will implement in terms of our rights.
It's very exciting. You touched a little there on what life is like for an LGBT person in Angola. Tell us a bit more about that and how somebody who is gay or bi or trans is seen within their family.
You know, as an African country, for cultural reasons, there's a lot of sexism, and, you know, it's seen in African culture in general as, for example, the male, you know, he needs to be portrayed in a certain way. And when you actually go against all those cultural and social rules, obviously you have consequences. Obviously, I live in the capital city, which is slightly more modern, and it's like most of the cities in the country. And obviously, as a nation, we kind of more easily absorb what's different, and we tend to try to understand what's different. Obviously, I cannot say that there is no negativity. Of course, there is. It's a challenge daily. For example, me as a transsexual, I managed to reach a point, you know, where I can use my own experience not only to empower the community, but also to re-educate society in general. So being transsexual and to have worked on TV, to work in the model industry, to be able to be a contemporary artist that has been recognized for my work, it's something that I use to actually empower other members of the community that we can be whatever we want to be. We can do whatever we want to do, and also show the society in general that we're not useless. We are not ill. There's no such thing as an illness. We are normal people that have the same right as anyone else.
When there are those instances of homophobia or transphobia, does it generally get to the point of violence, or is it more subtle than that?
It's much more subtle. I mean, 20 years ago, you know, as a teenager, it was completely different. I normally used to joke in a sort of way with the youngest members of the LGBT community, and I say, my God, I just wish I was a teenager today, because it's so much easier. There is so much more understanding. There is much more visibility. Obviously, I think that just like any other country in the world, one of the biggest tools for people to bully, it's online. You know, people use social media to bully, and that's something that, you know, it's quite hard. It's stronger because it's harder to control. But in general, there is less violence, I would say, to the point of even physical violence compared to a couple of decades ago. But still is. We cannot hide and say there isn't. Yes, there still is, especially those who live in the, you know, the world's, the ones who are poorer, they're the ones who face the biggest challenges. Most of them have been kicked out of their homes, and they have no other choice but to sell their bodies or to do other things that are considered unlawful. So it's something that is extremely important to address, because we want them to have, just like any other young person, to be able to get an education, to be able to be well received when they go to have medical assistance. And these are the places where they face a lot of discrimination.
What about a sense of community, as in the LGBT community? Is there a sense, a common place, a way that you connect with other LGBT people?
Yes, I feel that there is. It was just like about 3 weeks ago that the association IRIS invited me for a workshop, and you could tell that how much they want to listen and how much they want to be guided, even through social media, the amount of messages, you know, because we are aware that together we are stronger, and we are aware that it doesn't matter how different we might be from one another, we all have something in common. And that is the main reason why we keep holding each other's hands. And that's what sustains the community, especially the younger ones.
And that was trans activist Imani Da Silva speaking to us from Luanda, the capital of Angola.
I love that imagery just there at the end about that's why we keep, you know, holding each other's hands. And I definitely got that sense of many positive changes. This isn't just something, whilst the changes in law have happened in an instant, there's been this progressive positive change, you know, being led by activists like Imani and others who are, you know, willing to stick their head up. The visibility point that was made there as well, that when you know somebody, it's much harder to hate them.
Yeah, but, well, what a thoughtful, reflective interview that was. I thought that was just fantastic.
But she did mention that the discrimination is quite subtle in Angola. It's, you know, it's at home.
It's that,
at work.
The family expectation thing too. That, you know, if you work and the sexism, framing it as sort of, you know, male dominance of the family. If you're outside the mold, then you're frowned upon or excluded.
And social media, I mean, that's a problem for around the world of being bullied by social media. It makes it would make Imani a very easy target, I imagine.
An easy target that where you can, you know, be completely
anonymous
and say what you want, and there's, you know, almost no repercussion. Especially, even if we have laws here, I'm sure they're not quite in the same space as we are over there. And if that's where young people are going, that next generation are going for their, you know, to find, to connect, to meet the LGBT community, then that's obviously a new risk. I'm certainly glad that we didn't have social media in my day, and some of the things that I did haven't ended up on video.
Have not been recorded for posterity.
That's right. It's always a bit of a worry, isn't it? The part of that visibility, so Imani herself has been on TV, on TV shows, and a model, so just putting it out there. I mean, I just admire people like that so much when they just stand up and say, well, I'm going to live my life, you know. You want to, if you've got a problem with that, find somewhere else to go. So we are talking all things Angola tonight in Africa, and it's fantastic to have some good news. We had a bit of good news last week from Bisi in Nigeria in terms of he's been able to, apart from where he was evicted from Nigeria effectively or had to escape violence, he's been able to go back and hasn't had as much negativity, so maybe there's a bit of a...
And actually got interviewed on national television?
Yeah, one of the TV stations found out very quickly that he was there on holidays and said, come in and talk to us. And it wasn't, you know, a negative interview. It was...
We almost had a theme over the last 2 weeks, you know, good news in Africa.
Good news in Africa. May there be more of it. That podcast will be up on our webpage very shortly, joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
That's when Alex gets round to doing it.
We'll hope to do it this weekend, yes.
We've got some more coming up from Imani De Silva. This is World Wide Wave on Joy.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave. Stuff that you want, I got the thing that you need. I got more than enough to make you drop down your knees. Cause I'm not queen of the night. Queen of the night. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
that was another Queen, or Queen of the Night, actually, and Whitney Houston.
Whitney. Good old Whitney. Hey, stay tuned to our Facebook. If you haven't liked our Facebook page yet, now's the time to do it. We send you news stories from all around the world throughout the week, free of charge. Can't get better than that. Go to World Wide Wave, search World Wide Wave, or shorten it down to W3 Joy on Facebook, and we will keep you the most informed person on LGBT issues from around the world.
All done by Dean, our social
guru. All done remotely. See, our team members never actually leave us. Dean lives overseas and he still maintains our presence. Thank you, Dean. We are waving to you from here.
Now, we're speaking to Imani Da Silva, a trans activist in the Central African country of Angola. We asked Imani how they got involved in activism and suggested that this was a brave action to speak up on behalf of those in Angola who couldn't.
Yes, it all happened very naturally because I was living in London and that's where I transitioned. And, you know, taking my own experience and obviously the media, you know, it got the media's attention because until then, 8 years ago, there was nobody knew that somebody from the country would go through a sex change. And obviously, I used that to inform because there was something that there's a lot of misconception. And, you know, we're still working in terms of teaching how to differentiate sexual orientation from gender identity and things like that. And, you know, every single time I give an interview, it's also it's an opportunity for getting people's attention and how important it is for us as a community to be seen as normal, to be respected. I wouldn't say accepted because the word acceptance, it's something that you almost have to force upon others. And obviously we cannot forget that people are different and people have different backgrounds and different beliefs. But even though it's extremely important to have a minimal of understanding and therefore some respect. People say all the time, as you said, bravery. Again, I say it's natural to me. It's not something that I have to feel encouraged to do. It's just something that I do it so normally. I do it fearlessly. And I just use my knowledge and my strength to carry on working. I wouldn't say fighting. I'd rather use a more positive word, which is working towards our rights. Angola as a country, as an African country, is one of the countries that it's moving really fast when it comes to recognizing the LGBT community and its rights. And I just want to thank everybody who's been supporting. There's so many organizations, international organizations, and the media as well, that has been very, very supportive. And we just hope that we can count on everyone in the future. I'm sure it will happen sooner or later. We just don't know when, but it will happen.
And may you continue being fearless in your fight for rights in Angola. Imani Da Silva speaking to us from Angola. Thank you very much for talking to us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you so much for your time. It has been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And a very, very inspiring person. I love the comments there, to be seen as normal, to be respected, not necessarily accepted. So that idea that acceptance is sort of pushing something on somebody, just respect me for who I am. Some lovely words there. We haven't yet touched on what this might mean for the region around, you know, the countries that are around, because we know that, you know, South Africa has been quite progressive in its LGBT rights.
For a long time.
For a long time. Lesotho has a fairly accepting rights. In fact, that collection of countries in that area, the South African Development Community, this change in laws with Angola means that now countries that criminalise same-sex activity are in a minority.
Really?
So this is a collection of about 14, 15 countries. And so now the majority have more accepting laws and sort of are moving towards, you know, some of them, protections.
Yeah, and it might be reflective of a general stability in the area, with the exception, of course, of of Zimbabwe, but generally Southern Africa has been more on the whole, a peaceful transition from post-colonial rule to sort of with, you know, a couple of civil wars, of course, in Angola and Mozambique. But on the whole, it's not been the failed state region one sort of associates with Central Africa, Congo, these sorts of problematic regions. So I don't know, something that's culturally different about Southern African states, but maybe this is reflected in their sort of more progressive views.
And Amani did sort of mention too that the new president wants to show the country as being more progressive, so that this might be, you know, one piece of the puzzle of saying, well, you know, we're looking after minorities, we're making changes, you know, Western world who might want to invest in us, come down, see how we're doing it. It's a, you know, another angle, and if that's a way of sort of progressing rights, why not? Yeah.
And what fascinates me is where that change has been driven from. Mm. And speaking to Imani, she's just so emotional and so inspiring, and you feel that change has come from within the country rather than Western countries sort of, or investors saying you really must come and do this. Mm. And that's what I find exciting. And
and so definite too, like, yes. I get the feeling Imani's not going to take a backward step.
If you
want to stand up and take on Imani, then you are doing that. I'm not going to take a backward step.
And we need more Imanis. We can do all we can on World Wide Wave and in the external community, but we need activists within those countries, and we need to support them, fund them as well.
We also mentioned there IRIS, which is the local group, the first LGBT group to be registered. We've posted a link to their Facebook page on ours. Go to W3Joy and you can see what they're up to in Angola. You're on World Wide Wave.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchita Wurst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to Worldwide Wave from Joy 94.9.
A big thank you to our guest tonight, Imani Da Silva. They are an independent trans activist in Angola. As we mentioned, IRIS Angola, the first LGBT group. Go to the link on our Facebook page, send them a message, tell them they're doing great work.
And thank you to our Facebook messages, Stephen, Dwayne, Hope, Donaldi, Virginia, and a heap more who have joined us or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And a big thank you behind the scenes, our podcaster Alex and our social media master Dean.
You're welcome.
Now, stay with Joy all night, One Hot Wonder with Grace. And Dylan is in tonight, joining the team, coming in to play some groovy tunes. And then stick around, Triple Bypass, one of our very favourite shows, along with Local Roots at 10, and Been There, Done That, taking you through till midnight. But to take us out of here, Paul.
Well, you know, when you think about royalty and you think about Australia, who's the person that springs to mind?
Mm. Are we talking musical royalty?
Yes.
Are we talking somebody, the queen that may have graced us with her presence at Mardi Gras?
Possibly.
I thought she was a princess.
I thought she actually...
graduated from that role.
She's a tiny princess, though. Did you see her standing next to you? You've got these great big drag queens in their high-heeled stilettos, and there's tiny little Kylie.
Looked like someone had brought their child along in high-heeled and old dress.
But she still looked damn
yes,
fine.
She looked,
let me
amazing.
Tell you. Yes. So some Kylie. Which Kylie one are we going to take out?
It's King or Queen we're going to be going out with.
And we'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
on the disco scene. Loyalty unquavering. Be my king or queen.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.